And I'm so excited about this morning. Thank you for being here. And if you'd give me these next 25 minutes or so, I trust that the Lord has laid something on my heart that I believe would be a great help to everyone in this room. And I trust that you would just open your heart to receive from the Word of God, and may it help you as it helped me. And I want you to find your place in Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. As you open your Bibles, though, in Genesis 3, I did hear this story about this man and wife that were awakened at 3 a.m. in the morning. Somebody was loudly pounding on the door, and so the man gets up, and you know how men do. We act all big and bad then. Oh, no, honey, I'll go check it out. You're about like Barney Fife then. I can take him. And then after you get out of the room, you're like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I hope he doesn't have a gun or something. But he goes downstairs, and he opens the door, and it's this drunk guy out there. It's pouring down rain, drunk guy out there, and he says he wanted a push. And that guy said, not a chance. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, pouring down rain. He just slams the door and goes back upstairs and lays down. His wife says, well, what was that all about? He said, oh, some drunk stranger wants a push. She said, did you help him? No, I didn't help him. He says, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I ain't helping him. It's pouring down rain. I got better things to do. I got work in the morning. She said, boy, oh boy, you've got a short memory. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, remember, it wasn't too many months ago. We were broke down on the freeway, and it was cold, and rain was coming down. Some guy stopped and helped us. And boy, sure would be nice to help him. Maybe needs something to help him get by. He said, all right. And so he hops up. You know how you do. And you're mad all the way, but you go nonetheless. And so go down there, he got dressed, got his boots on, and there he went out, opened up the door, and he said, hey, you still here? Yes. Said, do you still want to push? And the drunk answered, yes. He says, all right, where are you? And the drunk answered up, over here on the swing. Oh. So, I know y'all didn't know where that was going, but thought, well, you shouldn't help that guy get back in the car. Well, he didn't want in the car. He just wanted pushed on the swing. So Genesis chapter 3, I want to preach about an event that everybody knows. And that's one of the hardest things as a pastor to do, probably to preach about a story, a lesson in the Bible that everybody knows. But there's an interesting attack going on in our society. And that attack is that the world, the flesh, and the devil are three enemies from ever. And they're trying to get you and I fooled into seeing only one side of an issue. Amy and I have talked to different people, and one couple in particular, which would matter who they were, but they're not here. But they were trying to convince us, and already tried to convince themselves, that their kids were going to be better off because they were going to split up, and now they're going to have even more people to love them. Because now I'm going to get somebody, and she's going to get somebody. Now they'll have more of a network of love. It's amazing how we look at one side of an equation and we try to factor out everything else about that equation. Well, you know the passage that we're going to is where Satan comes to Adam and Eve and tempts them, and we're going to look at that this morning. I trust it's a blessing. Now, the serpent, verse 1 of Genesis 3, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I want to preach for a little while about the deception of the devil. Father, bless us now is our prayer, and I pray that you would arrest everyone's attention for these moments, and so that we could get help from the Word of God. I believe you'd want to show us something, and I pray that we'd be willing to look. In Jesus' name, amen. Adam and Eve were living the good life. One little boy said, made in the shade with pink lemonade. They had it. I don't know if they had pink lemonade. Probably had sweet tea, but I don't know if they had pink lemonade. They ate. They slept. They communed with God. They communed with each other. And they had a good life. But Satan came to him and showed him the one thing that they were forbidden to do. If you ask me, I'd say, yep, they had it good. One command's not hard to follow. One tree there in the center, just go to all the other trees. But they were duped. And they were duped into thinking that they were missing everything that was good. They were duped into thinking that the one thing that they were not allowed to do was going to change their life so much, it was going to make all the others look as if they didn't exist. I think about it like this. You've got a teenager that he has his food, or she has her food, clothing, shelter provided. In most of the teenager's home, you have internet and iPhones and clothes and sometimes a car, or at least access to that. And then that teenager comes with disgust in their voice and says, I don't like that 11 o'clock curfew. I don't think it should be right for a 17-year-old that has to be back at 11 o'clock. I'm just making this up. It was from our home. We don't have a 17-year-old. Just wait, Al. I don't like that 11 o'clock curfew. But you've got food. You've got pretty much run of your room. You've got clothing. You've got shelter. You've got parents that love you. You've got interaction. You've got a family that does things with you. They take you on vacation. You haven't had to pay for the roof that leaked. You haven't had to pay for the water that needed repaired. You haven't had to pay for the water heater that needed to be replaced last year. You haven't had to do any of those things. But yeah, but I hate that 11 o'clock curfew. That really is ruining my life. Now, how many of you in this room, if you're an adult, you think, I wouldn't mind going back to 11 o'clock curfew. Many of you think, well, I've been in bed long before that anyways. I know. But if you didn't have to pay for your rent, you didn't have to pay for your mortgage, you didn't have to pay for your in utilities, you didn't have to pay for your food, I think most adults that are doing those things, they would gladly trade and go back to the time where they said, if all I got to do is be at 11 o'clock, then I'll gladly make that happen for the benefit of the other. But you understand that when you're 17, when you're whatever, and I'm not picking on that age, you can put whatever age in there you want. My point in saying this is the devil gets us to magnify one thing that we don't like and totally ignore all of the other benefits that he has poured out on us. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. Adam, who gets to name the animals? I do. Who gets to talk to God in the cool of the day? I do. Who gets to sit and put their feet in one of these creeks or these streams? I do. I don't even know if Adam probably didn't have to, he didn't probably didn't have to fish. They probably fish just probably jumped out at him. Who gets to do all these things? Adam and Eve would have had to said, I do. But what Satan did is tried to magnify the one thing that they were not allowed to do and totally ignore all the blessings that they got poured out upon them. I want to point out the devil's tactics today and have you look and see if that's not the same thing that's happening in our lives. Number one, I want you to see this in verse number one, that the temptation that Satan brought to God's people were the temptation came subtly. Verse number one, the Bible says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He was the he was the smoothest operator. He would have come walking in all cool, calm, and collected. You say, walking in? Well, he had to walk somehow because there was a curse that God said, you ain't going to walk no more. You're going to crawl on your belly. So somehow he had to get around before that, not on his belly. And so he was the calm, cool, and collected, the most subtle of the beasts of the field. And that's the one Satan used to come and tempt Eve. And so it happens that it is on our lives as well, that the calm, cool, and collected, the suave, the subtle thing will come to us as well. But we understand that this snake came walking up. Did you ever notice that all of the industries that are hurting our people, tobacco, alcohol, all of these industries that we know the end result is not good. Budweiser doesn't come up to you with a wrecked home and a cirrhosis of the liver and a DUI. Instead, they would come to you with beautiful women and beautiful men doing wonderful activities and insinuate to you that if you would only partake of their product, then you could have what these on this advertisement are having as well. But Satan comes up subtly. He shows us the things that maybe we desperately like to have. He comes in a smooth, calm way, as we've often said before. He doesn't show up in a red suit and a pitchfork and a pointed tail. Instead, the Bible says in the New Testament, that we shouldn't be surprised because he brings himself as an angel of light. He brings something that we desire to have. You get mail just like I do. Don't you get these mailers that say that you have qualified for an increase on your spending limit on your credit card? You, my friend, are platinum. Ooh. I've always wanted to be platinum. Who wants to be silver or gold? Why wouldn't we be platinum? With this platinum status comes an extra $5,000 to $10,000 worth of spending limit. And you think, it's about time that somebody noticed how special I am. I've always thought of myself as platinum, but now I'm glad that Citibank finally does. Now, I'm not against credit cards necessarily. I certainly am against the stranglehold that they put on a lot of different families. But my point is, I think you're going to see where I'm going. That temptation to spend more than you should on stuff that you don't need. Somebody said it like this. It's amazing. We spend money we don't have to impress people we don't like. But those temptations come, and they want to get us wrapped up in bondage. And there's tens of thousands of our people across this land. I know they spent the money, and the contract was written. I'm not faulting them. I'm just saying that they got bound up into something that didn't look that way on the front door, but on the back door, it looks a whole lot like I've got a stranglehold by something. I'm saying this morning that temptation came in subtly as Satan used the serpent to come to Eve. Not only do we see that, but we see also as we work our way down through the verse, not only does it come in subtly, but that Satan changes God's command into a question. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The devil knew good and well that God put hard and fast lines on what people were allowed to do. He also knew that God dishes out consequences. You remember where Satan used to abide, right? He used to abide in heaven. If you look back in the Old Testament and you see that, O Lucifer, how son of the morning, how hast thou fallen from heaven? We see that he used to abide there. He knows that God dishes out consequences. He also knows that God's going to dish out the consequences for Adam and Eve. But since when did we start thinking that Satan was worried about the good well-being of Adam and Eve? He changes God's command into a question. Notice that Satan didn't come to Eve and say, God's done nothing for you. Eve might have stood up and said, that's ridiculous. He's done lots for us. Satan doesn't come to you and say, God's betrayed you. God's not done anything for you. He won't come to you in your life and say, boy, your whole life is garbage. Why don't you just give up that whole God thing and go worship the devil? He's not going to come to you so boldly, so blatantly. No, instead of what he'll do is get you to say, boy, what if you had married that old boyfriend from high school? Boy, wouldn't that have been so much better than the joker you got? Ladies, don't say amen there. That was a bad time to say, boy, that's true. Satan doesn't come to you and say your life's miserable, but he comes to you and says, well, I wonder what if I'd take a different path. And there, I suppose there's nothing wrong maybe in that innocent thought, but there is something wrong when you go and you investigate that person online, you start an online relationship, and then that family gets busted up because of all of the what if I had only married her instead of the one that I got. What if we had stayed together back in high school? And that's one of the curses that we have with our connectivity in our world today. But can you see how a question from Satan is so much less threatening than a degrading of God's character? Yea, hath God said? Are you sure that's what he said? Girl, I think you can eat that fruit. You sure? We see that God says a church is to be holy. And so if a pastor, they came, we're gonna do things completely anti-Bible. Pastors say, no, we're not going to do that. But then if some people in the church say, well, no, we're just going to compromise a little bit because we got to keep with the times. That sounds a lot better than we're just going to go against the Bible. You see what I'm saying? How Satan comes and presents a question. Wouldn't it be better if we were able to minister to the people out there? Not if you mean doing something unbiblical to get the chance as they say, it's never right to do wrong to get a chance to happen to do right. God says that a man shouldn't look upon a woman to lust. But Satan comes to a man and says, well, how could the images on a screen hurt your physical life? And then a man gets trapped up into pornography. Can you see how deceptive the wicked one is? Comes to you with a question. Well, how could that hurt? Surely this little interlude between an old friend, happens to be the opposite sex, wouldn't hurt anything. Surely that wouldn't wreck my home and disgrace my children. I'm saying that not only does temptation but from Satan come subtly, but also Satan changes God's commands into a question. And then you'll see in verse number 4 that after he challenges it by changing the command into a question, then he challenges the very truth of God's word. Look in verse number 4. And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Was there an element of truth in that? She didn't drop dead of a heart attack right then. So Satan said, see, after that bite, you're fine. But this crowd knows that she died spiritually because the fellowship was broken between her, God, and then Adam ultimately. He challenges the truth of God's word. That's what he's doing today still. If you don't have to look back, but if you look back two chapters, the Bible says in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You go to any university across our land for that matter, and ask the head of the biology department what they would think about that statement. Satan goes from questioning things to the defiance of what God literally said in his word. So he comes in subtly, he challenges or changes the question the command into a question, and then he out and out says, see, I told you that you were wrong all along, you won't die. And I want us this morning to understand that same progression is happening in your life and in my life. There are subtleties coming in that Satan is authoring into your life, challenging and changing the commands of God into a question, yea, hath God said. And then after we entertain that for just a while, it turns into a complete defiance of the word of God. Ye shall not surely die. Because we think that we can do something and we can beat the odds. Oh, sure, everybody else who went down that path, they end up in a bad destination, but that's not me. Oh, sure, they dabbled with that and they got burned, but I won't get burned. You ever try to take something out of the oven and you don't have the mitts? And you think, oh, I'm a fast worker. Heat transfers from the pan faster than your hands work. I know everybody else has got literally burned on this exercise, but I believe I can do it. Because it only has to go from there to here. Fancy fingers don't fail me now. And you know what you're going to find out? The same thing that every other idiot found out. That pan's hot. But you know what we're going to find out when we take the bait of what Satan offers? We're going to find out that he takes us down a road that we didn't want to be down. Let me conclude by saying this. Look at verse number 6, if you would. Let me just take a couple of minutes on this. And we see here is Eve's sum of what the whole experience gave her. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, said it was good for food. Oh, it tastes good. And then she says, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, it looked good. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, and it makes you smart. I believe Eve thought in her mind, this is a win, win, win. It looks good, tastes just as good as it looks, and when you get it, it makes what you want to eat if you want to be smarter. The only bad thing is, look back, if you will, in chapter 2, verse 17, just turn your page probably. This is how God described the tree. He's telling you can eat of every other tree in the garden, verse number 16. But verse number 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and what next, church? Evil. Thou shalt not eat, for in the day thou eat thereof, thou shalt not surely die. If you look back at chapter 3, verse 6 that we looked at before, the only thing that Eve left out of her description of the tree was everything evil. She said it looks good, it tastes good, and it makes you smart. Eat, Adam, you got to have some of this. And Satan will try to get you and I focused on the good of whatever bad he's got doctored up and deceive us into thinking that only the good will come to pass in our lives. And my friend, I just wanted to come to today to equip you, because I don't think the devil has changed his tactics any. Let me tell you what he's doing on this when he challenges the Word of God. You've got that book, it's laying in your lap. And somebody asked you about that book and you said, well, that's what I live my life on. And they answer back, that book was written thousands of years ago. It wasn't written for what we face today. And the truth of God's Word is challenged and then completely scrapped. God tells you how to exactly run your business. Honest, with integrity, with kindness and charity. Because that's what the Bible says, how to operate your life. And so therefore your business is supposed to operate in that same way. Yet many laugh at that, saying that might have worked in some bygone days, but not in the cutthroat world we live in. What are they doing? They're challenging the truth of God's Word. So I'm just asking you to be an observant Christian. Notice when Satan is coming to you to deceive. Remember what this preacher says. Every time he offers something, there's always a bait and switch. There's a negative on the backside of it, even if the front side looks very appealing. Be that all the way to a wrecked marriage. Be that all the way to a life ruined by drugs and alcohol. Whatever the case might be, I'm saying that he's a deceiver. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of all of them. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not a Christian, you've never asked Christ to save you, here's the lie that's being told to you probably right now in your head. I can do that anytime. You know what the truth of that is? That's a partially true statement. You can trust Jesus Christ anytime. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you know that you're a sinner, because the Bible says all of us are. You know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for mine, because the Bible says that he did. And there you sit thinking, I'm going to do that one of these days. I'm going to turn from my abilities and myself and all that I can do. I'm just going to turn to Jesus Christ and receive him as my Savior. I'm with you all the way up till there. But here's the next lie that I cannot go with you in. You're probably thinking that I can do that any old time I want to later in my life. You see where that's partially true? As long as you live, yes, you can. But then the Bible teaches that God doesn't always dwell with you in that convicting way that he might be right now. So when Satan gives the lie that you can just do that anytime, on the outside, that's true. Well, what if your life is snuffed out without any moment's notice and you don't have time to prepare? So whether you're somebody in this room that needs to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't buy the lie of the devil that I've got plenty of time. They'll have services this week in Johnson City for people who thought they had plenty of time, but their time ran out without them receiving Christ as their Savior. That's the message to an unbeliever today, somebody who's not sure of their salvation. And then to you that are saved, can we get our spiritual glasses on? And as we go throughout our life, realize that Satan is still coming with half-truths. Kind of, sort of, should have been this way, but wasn't. When Satan said, "You'll be like gods, knowing good and evil," that wasn't all wrong. They did know more after they partook of the fruit than they knew before. The only problem was all that they knew was bad. They already knew the good. So Satan's deal turned wrong for them once again. So I just wanted to come and deliver that to you. The deception, of the devil. Would we be on the lookout as a Christian? We'd notice some things, be perceptive children of God. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you to make this message, maybe more of a lesson, very real to every believer in this room. Lord, I have no doubt that there are people listening today who are dabbling with something right now that if they're not cautious and they don't get away from it, it will ruin them. But Satan's not presenting it in an evil, wicked way. Right now, he's just questioning what you said they should do. Folks, as I pray, can I remind you this? I meant to say it earlier. Never put a question mark where God puts a period or an exclamation point. God says some things emphatically in his word. Let's not let the devil make us question and put a question mark where God has already settled the matter. Father, again, bless us is our prayer. I pray if there's one or a few that are unsaved this morning, that they would come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't need to come to the front, although we'd love to be able to help them. Maybe they're in their seat, they just need to cry out silently to the Lord where you hear what we say and pray and think. Turn to Jesus for their only salvation. And maybe there's some believers in this room that need to be sobered up, dear Lord, to not buy into the lie of the devil. In Jesus' name, would you stand together with us as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking in your heart, I invite you to come. Let's not be duped by the devil. Let's not be that one that sees only the good, the bright, the shiny, without investigating it fully. Yea, hath God said. Are you sure about that, Eve? I'm going to continue to play. And folks, this hasn't been a jab at anybody in this room, because I'm putting myself in that same boat with Adam and Eve. The devil, the wicked one, comes to tempt all of us. It's not a put down. It's just a real observation that if we're not careful, we look only at the information that Satan provided, and it's skewed at best. May we be wise in how we live our lives. May we be observant and perceptive and base our decisions upon the Word of God. Thank you. May look this way. Well, I appreciate everybody being in church this morning. It's a joy to get to see you. We're so thankful for what God has done to bring us together. And I want you to look around at a great crowd this morning. And we're thankful for God gathering us all in here. And I trust that this message has been the one that the Lord had for each of us today. I invite you back tonight. Here's our schedule. We'll have Brother Ram Ribeiro's daughter, Roxanne, will be here. She's going out back as a missionary to help her father and to help other church plants. And we'll get to hear from her tonight, or see her video, that is. But then we'll also get to wish Ben Gallion off and say goodbye to him. He'll be here maybe another service or two, but just about another 10 days, and he'll be going to England. So we'll have some snacks afterwards and trust to be a blessing. And then Miss Victoria Radford will be able to present tonight her mission intern trip that she's going to be on for about 6 months. And so there's a lot happening. I'll preach as well, but we'll try to all pack it into our normal length service and have you out of here in good time and get to fellowship a little bit. And then next week, as Daniel mentioned, we have our family growth night a week from tonight. And that's when we'll come in this auditorium, all of us together, but then we'll, after the pre-service, we'll break up and then have some breakout sessions, so to speak, and some ladies will be taught by Miss Jennifer White, and the men will be preached to by Brother John White, and then my family and I, we're going to take the children, first grade through fifth grade, have a good time with them as we dismiss, and then Brother Kyle will have the teenagers, and we'll just have a wonderful time. That's 1 week from tonight, so I challenge everybody to be here. We'll have something for every member of the family, and then in 2 weeks from now, Dr. David Gibbs will be our guest speaker. I think I have that date right. Yes, the 2nd of October, Dr. David Gibbs, the head of CLA, will be here. He's a phenomenal speaker. He is one of those ones that just draws you in. If you haven't heard him, you're going to enjoy him. 2 weeks from today, I'd love to have a packed out house because I believe everybody who comes will enjoy the messages that he preaches. So that's in 2 weeks. Thank you for being in church this morning. I ask Brother Rick Hall, if you don't mind, to slip up here, Brother Rick, and dismiss us in prayer. And Brother Rick, one of the deacons here, and we appreciate he and Miss Nancy. And if he'll give me just a moment to slip back to the lobby, I'll greet you, and he'll pray for us and dismiss us with God's goodness.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us to come together. And we thank you for the word that was brought to us, Father, your message from your holy word. We pray that you go with us now. Father, help us to serve you better. Help us to be about your business. Help us to be ambassadors for Christ. Go with us and give us a great day. In Jesus' name, amen.